The Gospel of John, chapter 3. One of the most simple, clearest messages concerning salvation in all of this precious book, and the most difficult because of the battle of Satan to preach. And so, as I have enjoyed for many years preaching this, it is always the most difficult. And so please, please keep me in prayer. John chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with verse 1, just down through verse 5. We're just going to get started today. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for those precious words. I ask for your strength. I ask for your wisdom. I ask that the Holy Spirit, that he come down and that he touch every heart today. Every heart. Those, Father, that know you as their Savior, are here as a family growing. Those that have come that have not invited you in. They've missed this simple plan. And, Father, I just ask today that change. That today you'll be able to enter into that heart. And they'll be saved. So please, dear Lord, just speak to our hearts. Just make it ever so clear today. And please, just get me out of the road and you in the front, Lord Jesus, that they only see you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This is the greatest of the verses in all of our Scripture. Yes, where we speak of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and him dying on that cross and then raising himself 3 days later. What a beautiful, glorious message. But here is where we see how simple it is to be a part of that. At the cross, he died and took our sin away. But until you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him is of any value to you. And it has to be to you. It has to be personal. You need to know Jesus as your Savior. And so when we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that it is so important that we understand. And as you study, man has put in the chapters and the verses, so it helps us to study. It's easy to reference where you're studying or what you're looking at. And so by having that in this scripture, when we tend to divide. We tend to stop at verse 25 in the second chapter and then begin again with verse 1 of chapter 3. We need to take that out, and I'm going to help you to do that because actually in the original it says, but there was a man of the Pharisees. So you see, when we back up and read verse 25, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man, but there was a man of the Pharisees. And so it pulls both of those chapters together, and we need to hold them together. However, we find, and by that word, but, there was a man, we find him to be a little bit different than the other Pharisees, the other of the Sanhedrin that set out to question him and didn't really believe a word that he had to say. Now, was Nicodemus part of this group that questioned them before? I believe he was. I believe he was. And so now we have the description. We have him named. His name was Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. Again, Nicodemus was a little bit different. You know, today everybody it's psychological, it's intellectual, it's of your mind. And that's all that is presented today from most pulpits. I read of a preacher that made a comment about this scripture verse. And it was written over 40 years ago. And his statement was that this is the least preached message in all the scripture. The least preached? The least preached. Most of you heard me say, and it's something that really has stuck into my heart and into my mind. Preacher went to take a call to church, and he preached, "You must be born again," from John chapter 3. And they liked him, and they called him. And his first week, he preached John chapter 3, "You must be born again." Next week, he preached John chapter 3, "He must be born again." The third week, four times now, the third week that he was their pastor, he preached, "He must be born again," John chapter 3. Deacons couldn't figure it out. They thought that, you know, is this the only thing this man knows? And they questioned him after church. They said, "Why do you only preach, 'He must be born again'?" And he said, "Because ye must be born again." That bunch was lost. He knew what he was doing. And to think that this message is so seldom preached in our churches today. I'd have to look back into my records to see how many times that we have enjoyed this message, but it's been many. I love teaching it, I love preaching it, and I hope that you love hearing it. And so, this man named Nicodemus, was his eye caught Jesus by the miracles and the signs and the wonders that was there, as did all the rest of them. They saw that caught their eye. But Nicodemus, he just wanted a little bit more. And you know, all you have to do to be born again is to listen. Listen to what God's saying. Listen to what the Spirit of God is telling you. The Spirit of God's showing you clearly that you're lost and you're a sinner. You need a Savior. And then he doesn't do what the intellectuals do. They show you who you are and how ugly you are, but you can't do anything about it. Jesus does through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows us not only our sin, but also then presents to us our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So all you have to do is listen, and when you really hear, not only hear in your ears, but it gets down to your heart, and you realize what you are and what you need, then is when you turn, and then is when you ask Jesus, says, "Please save me. Please save me." And He saves you, and He keeps you eternally. How simple can that be? This man, Nicodemus, that's how he was different than the rest of them. He had a little bit of hungering. He had a little bit of thirsting for what Jesus had to give. And that's all it takes. That's where it starts. Just a little hungering and a little thirsting. What do you do when you're hungry? What do you do? We need to follow that same principle in the Word of God. We find something to eat. If we're thirsty, we find something to drink. Nicodemus' hunger and thirst was after what Jesus had to give. And I don't believe he understood what it was, but it was enough that he did just what we do, and that's the reason the Word uses examples like that, hungering and thirsting. How simple can it be? Some principle that we understand it. When we're thirsty, we go get something to drink. When we're hungry, we go get something to eat. And I believe Nicodemus had a hunger and a thirst for what Jesus had to give. He didn't understand it. You ever wonder about that? How come is it that when I eat real late at night and I eat a big supper, that I'm hungrier in the morning? I haven't done anything. Slept all night. How come I'm hungry in the morning? I shouldn't be. Have you ever just eaten and you say, well, I'm hungry again. I shouldn't be hungry. I believe that's the condition Nicodemus was in. I think he hungered and thirsted after Jesus, but he didn't know why. And see, when you're of the world, you don't understand spiritual things. So this calling, he didn't really understand. Nicodemus, his conscience was moved. This was a very religious man. And many times, very religious people have a closed heart. They know the church doctrine they have been taught. They know the traditions of their day. And when someone brings something new, like you must be born again and trust in the Lord Jesus, they just close their ears. They won't listen. They won't listen. I think that there's a lot of people, and Dick, you were just down there and worked for several nights, and Mary's son Ted runs the pumping station down at where they pump all the water out of the bottoms and it's the drainage district. They have ear things that you put on, and I don't care how loud somebody yells at you. You can't hear them. You can see their lips moving, but you don't hear anything. I don't know what those things are made of. It allows you to go around where the motors and the pumps and stuff are at and not deafen your ears. You put those things on, and when I'm down there working on something, I'll put them on, you know, and you just got to walk way outside, take them off, talk to them, put them back on, and walk back in again because you can't hear anything. I need to learn what some of you know sign language. That's what I need to do when you're in there to communicate. Well, that's the condition of most religious people. Their ears are so closed off that they refuse to hear the Word of God. They need to get out, just like you have to get out of this little room where these pumps and motors are at. You need to get out where you can hear. But as long as they stay in that religion, stay in that liberal church, they don't hear anything. And they won't listen. And so, Nicodemus, that's how he was different. He allowed himself to listen. That's all you need. You need that little bit of an open door, just a little bit to listen. Isn't it wonderful to know that the gospel sees no social boundaries? Doesn't matter if you're the poorest person in the world or the richest person in the world, that gospel is offered to you if you listen. Nicodemus was such a person. Nicodemus was very religious. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Now, a ruler of the Jews is not one that was over the in a government way, because Rome was over the Jews at the time, but over a religious way, he was a ruler, a leader, a very important. And when you held that position then brought you much money. It was a very wealthy position. You were very well to do. You were looked up to. That's the way this position was held. And so for Nicodemus to bring himself down and to listen to this man Jesus is wonderful. And I hope that your ears are tuned to listen to Jesus today and not have this block of religion that's not allowing you to do that. Most Pharisees refused to accept the words of the Lord Jesus, the doctrines he was saying. Most Pharisees of that day stood and called him an imposter, said he was a phony. Most Pharisees of that day said the worst words about Jesus of anybody. The Jews, his chosen people, the leaders of that group, spoke the most evil, wicked words to Jesus that anyone could ever say. So you see, that's how religion can destroy you. You don't need religion. You need a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that's what Nicodemus is taking a look at. And we need to do the same if we do not know the Lord Jesus. There's another that was a Pharisee, a great Pharisee. And that's Paul, Saul of the day. So you see, we see that there are Pharisees that get saved. And so just because somebody, when you begin to tell them that Jesus saves, and they said, now I go to this church, or I go to that, I got my church. Well, you don't care if they got their church. You want to know if they got Jesus. And so you tell them that. Isn't it wonderful that Nicodemus and the Apostle Paul both was saved out of being the top in their religion, and yet they were saved and begin to be messengers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus didn't look at them and say, well, he's of that other, he's religious, he won't listen. Sometimes we make that decision. We use that excuse. They have their church. I don't want to talk to them. I don't talk to them about this church. Talk to them about Jesus. This man came by night. We're not real sure why he came by night. What we do know is that what he was receiving in his religion wasn't enough. If what he was receiving in his religion was enough, he wouldn't be coming looking, being hungry and thirsty, looking for the Word of God. Whether he came by night because he was afraid of his associates, those that he was working with every day, he was afraid if he was seen with Jesus asking questions that they would question that. Or it was just that Nicodemus was a very busy man, and this was the only time that he could really come and see Jesus. We're not really told which one. I go with the first. I think he was hiding from his brothers. I think he didn't want to be seen with Jesus right now because he was afraid of the consequences. But thankful enough, his hunger was enough to come. And so, as we look now at the second verse, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He didn't say, we think you're a teacher come from God. Maybe you're a teacher came from God. He said, we know. Now, the word we there, does that tell us that there were others and he is their spokesman? He is just coming to check to see what this man's all about. And, you know, they drew straws or Nicodemus just said, I'll go. I'll meet him. We'll find out what this man's all about. But it seems like that there was more than just him that was interested. We know thou art a teacher come from God. Why does he know that he's a teacher come from God? Why does he know that? He knows that because of the miracles. It says, thou dost, for no man can do these things that thou doest, except God be with him. Well, he's partially right. God's not only with him, and God is him. He is God. But you see, again, they weren't looking for this kind of a man. This miracle, what's the purposes of the miracles that Jesus performs? Is it to bring glory to himself? You know, most things that we do it so people pay attention to us. We want to be praised. We want to be honored. Jesus came to fulfill his Father's desires. He did not come to bring glory to himself. He didn't come to show his power. He didn't even come for the purpose of physically healing and taking pain away from folks here physically. He came to take a spiritual pain away. All this was part of it. The healing of the lame, the healing of the blind. And yes, there was some honor given to him, but Jesus didn't intend on that. Everything was brought to where it was sent to the Father. The Holy Spirit shows us the Son, and the Son brings us to the Father. That's the way God's plan is. The Holy Spirit brings us to Jesus, shows us the Lord Jesus. And by knowing the Lord Jesus personally as our Savior, then we know God the Father. It's the only way. It's the only plan that God has in place. He calls him Rabbi. Thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles. So it was the miracles that drew him. And that's the purpose of the miracles. The purpose of the miracles is to testify that this is no ordinary man. This is God. He is the only one. God be with him. That's not a true statement. That's what Nicodemus saw. But it was God himself here. And that's what the miracles are here to prove. Jesus answers him here in verse 3, and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What was Nicodemus looking for? What did Nicodemus come to see? Did he want a private showing of miracles? I don't think Nicodemus knew what he wanted. I think he just had that little hunger down there. That little bit of thirsting down there was just enough to bring him. Just enough to bring him. Isn't it something that Jesus, that Nicodemus didn't know what he needed, but Jesus did? Because Jesus answered the question. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, Nicodemus was looking for the Messiah, but the Messiah to be a king, to take the rule of Rome away from them. That's what everybody was looking for. No one was looking for someone to come and take their sin away. Just to take the rule and the reign of Rome away. And so we find here that he says kingdom of God. Jesus is not talking about an earthly kingdom yet. He's talking about a spiritual kingdom. And whoever is here, that is born again, that knows Jesus as their Savior, is a part of the kingdom of God. You're a member of the family because you know Jesus as your Savior. You've come to trust in Him and to walk with Him. But spiritual things, the natural man doesn't understand. Spiritual things, the natural man doesn't understand. That word, verily, verily, John uses that 25 times in his gospel. 25 times. He doesn't just say it once in this chapter. He says it twice. The Lord Jesus uses these words. Verily, verily. And then in verse 5, verily, verily again. Why? Listen. Listen. Nicodemus, you've come. Now I want you to listen. He's calling him to attention. He's calling him to pay special attention. And anytime you have that repetition like that, verily, verily, it is to do just that. I want your full attention. I want your full attention. Is there ever a time when a teacher's teaching or a preacher's preaching that they have everybody's full attention? I can answer that. And the answer is no. There's times I think a preacher would be glad just to have one. That is the full attention. Isn't it something how our mind wanders? You know, it just, you know, you see something or something happens and boom, your mind's gone. It's off someplace else. Nicodemus had a private meeting with the Son of God. With the Son of God. And Jesus, looking right into his face and right into his eyes, I want you to listen to what I have to say. It's not what he's looking for, but he wants Nicodemus to listen. He doesn't want anybody, and in this case Nicodemus, to miss this point. Doesn't get any clearer in any place in the Word of God. It doesn't get any clearer of what has to happen. And Nicodemus said, except a man be born again, or Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That gets pretty clear. Cannot see. The kingdom of God is not entered by keeping the law. A Jew, an Israelite, you know how they are allowed to have all use of the temple? All they need to do is be born. If you're born a Jew, the covenant of the law allows you to have full use of the temple of God. Now, if you're a Gentile, then you have to come in and you need to accept those things. But if you're born a Jew, born a son of Abraham, son of Isaac, son of Jacob, if you're born a Jew, it's all yours. That's all you need to do. Why do you think the Lord Jesus used such an example? Because he was talking to a Jew. And a Jew understood what it meant to be born into something. Because he was born into what he thought was the family of God. Because he was born a Jew, God's chosen people. But Jesus said, I want you to listen. And I want you to listen very, very carefully. Because as you were born a Jew, it doesn't matter. Your blood doesn't matter. Mine does. You were born of the flesh. But if you expect to come into my kingdom, you must be born again. You must be born again. That was the words that Jesus gave to this religious man that was born into the family. So you see, he understood that. He understood what rights come with being born into such a family. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus' response comes in verse 4. And if you don't know his response, then you're going to have to come back next week. Got to come back next week. It's a privilege and a joy to preach the Word of God. It's so simple. It's so simple. Because even though as believers ourselves, as people, we're born of the flesh, we weren't born into any special family. You know, if you use the name of Mulch or Walbrink or Russ Camp or Honer or Kuntz. Those are common names all from here south. Very common names. Didn't do a thing for me. How I was born means nothing when it comes to my relationship with God. Now, any one of those family members could have, should have, told me, this ain't good enough. You need to be born again. None of them did. None of them did. I'm part of two-thirds of the people between here and Quincy is my family. And not a one of them told me, you need to be born again. What they told me was, my family's good enough. It's not. Let's close with prayer. Father, help us to just come by faith and trust in you. Right now, Nicodemus' answer is going to be a very natural answer. And that's the way most people today, religious or otherwise, respond. Please, dear Lord, I just ask that that your Spirit will touch our hearts and will change our minds and change our lives and change our hearts. And we know that you will do that if we just say, yes, dear Lord, I believe. Convict every heart this morning. Touch all of our hearts, dear Lord. Do what you need to do to bring them to Jesus and to help them to grow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.